Hey everyone, it's Julian and Nick, which could only mean one thing. It's time for the Clear Cash Podcast.
A while ago, it used to mean something else. It could have meant like, it's 6 p.m. and we're home from work.
Which we also, well, we our home was our work for a little bit, so.
Yeah, it's 3 p.m. and we're at work.
3 p.m. and we're at work, yeah. 6 p.m. was usually the time where we were playing Legend of Dungeon. We played that a lot when we lived together.
That's a fun little game.
It is a good little game. But video games is what we tend to talk about. When did you, I guess it's not important to ask really when you started cheating. Because I know you have.
I started cheating with the Game Genie on Sega Genesis. My friend Mike had one. And I had a Tips and Tricks subscription, which was a magazine that had no content at all. It was just pages and pages of cheats. And I'm pretty sure it had a Game Genie section. If not, I had Prodigy internet, so I would hop on and print out some cheats.
So with the Game Genie, did that function like Game Shark, where you entered strings of code or strings of numbers?
Yeah, exactly the same. It looked like the Sonic and Knuckles cartridge. You'd plug it in, and then you plug the Genesis cartridge into the top of it, and then you would be immediately confronted with the Game Genie logo, which was like a buff genie holding up the name Game
That's
Genie.
That's right.
And then you would just enter these random like strings of letters and numbers, and it would tell you what the outcome was after trying them. And it was strange because you could, in some cases, guess what the next code was going to be by entering the next sequential number or something and get a different result from the cheat.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird. But the game that I remember cheating the most on is Kid Chameleon, which is this platformer starring a kid that looks like if Fonzie was like a 90s movie star child. He's like white t-shirt, leather jacket, blue jeans.
Didn't he
black
have a backwards,
sunglasses.
Backwards cap too?
He had slick back hair.
Okay, slick back hair.
And the whole gimmick was he put on masks, and he would become what the mask was. But he's like the coolest kid at the arcade, and he gets sucked into the arcade machine, and then he has to play Kid Chameleon, and it's this platformer that just controls like shit. He was like sliding all over the place, but it has these rad masks and like 100 levels. So it was hard as fuck, but we wanted to see more of it. So we would just enter all the codes to get to each level, basically.
Okay.
That's we spent a ton of time on that one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I remember that the seeing the Game Genie like really early on, you know, because my first console or video game really ever was in a Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Nintendo, like an NES at the house, but I was like way too young to even understand what was happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was more for my dad, who was very young, you know, when I was a baby. So he would play that too. So I don't really count the NES as my first console. Like the first real like gaming system I had was the Super Nintendo, and I had more of a concept of video games at that time. And I remember seeing the Game Genie, and then learning about what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as a kid, what I dreamed up was that I would get this Game Genie and it would allow me to be better at video games. Like I didn't really look at it as a way of exploiting a video game, but more of mm-hmm. just being able to play it well, because as a kid I sucked at video games, you know.
Okay.
I just didn't have the perception, like the ability to do well at a video game. Like my brain wasn't developed enough. I didn't have the mind to hand connection to to be able to.
Still developing.
Yeah, very, very much so. So I couldn't play Mario that well, and you know, I would play all kinds of Super Nintendo games. I'd rent from Blockbuster or whatever warehouse. Played a lot of Joe and Mac. Died a lot. Never beat it.
Which one's Joe and Mac?
It's a super early Data East game, and it's the one where you play as two cavemen, Joe and Mac, and it's a side-scroller. Yeah, yeah. Super, super, like, intense visual, like, very vibrant colors. Very, very well animated. Like, one of the best Super Nintendo games, for sure. And
cool.
Played a lot of that. And the game that I really wanted to use Game Genie for, I don't even know what you would have been able to do with it, but Evo. Do you remember that game? Evo?
Yeah, yeah, the Evolution game.
Yeah, that game's sick. I still, like, love that game.
And it's a wild concept.
Yeah, it's hard as hell, though, especially as you evolve onto land. For people who aren't aware, Evo is this game where you start as basically a little tiny fish in the ocean. You can eat other things, gain experience points, and level up, and then eventually evolve, and then you follow, like, the actual evolutionary periods of, like, early life into dinosaurs.
Well, so, you know, the purported early life of quote-unquote dinosaurs.
Yeah, that probably were put there by Satan to deceive us all.
I am not fooled.
Good game, though. So if you want to see some cool non-creationist myths, which is what they are, play Evo. But I struggled with that game as a kid, and I figured Game Genie was my ticket. But I never was able to get the Game Genie, whether it was because it was always rented out at Blockbuster and then eventually stolen, because who wants to give
they
that back?
They fucking rented the Game Genie or Blockbuster?
Yeah. Like, they usually only had one or two at my local Blockbusters, but you could rent it for a weekend or however long, you know, they allowed you to keep games out back then.
5 days.
5 days.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't rented a game in so long. Like, it's like, and I never did so with my own money. Like, by the time I got a job as a teenager, there was no renting games anymore.
That's crazy. I rented so many games.
Yeah.
I just go to Blockbuster, look at some cases. I'll try this one.
Well, I definitely rented a lot of games in my time. I just never did so with, like, thinking about my own, you know, because I always had my family member rent it for me. You know, I have money.
Yeah, I know. You don't got to brag about it. No, I mean, I'm, what, like 5 years older than you? How old are you?
I'm 20. I just turned 27.
27? Mm-hmm. I'm 6 years older. 5 years older than you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was renting console games into my early teens, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. I like renting games, man. I wish that you still had that wonder of, this is going to be, like, exciting when I try this game.
Yeah, that doesn't really exist anymore. You know, like, you either know full well what you're going to get into, or you're disappointed because it doesn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
There's no trial period. I mean, they vary. Like, demos aren't even really a thing anymore. It's super rare that you even see demos.
See, I mean, you were talking about how you, when you were younger, you wanted to cheat because you wanted to experience the game fairly.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was younger, when I was playing NES at my friend's house, he had Mario 3, and, like, I think that was it. And we didn't have, I don't even know if there was I'm sure there was a cheating device for the NES, but he didn't have it, whatever it was. And so we just played Mario 3 over and over again until we were able to beat it, basically. And the concept of, like, getting a different game or finding a different method to experience the game, like, wasn't a reasonable one, because you were just stuck with what you had, basically, and you were forced to find a way to enjoy it, especially if you, like, rented the wrong game.
Mm-hmm.
I rented a what looked like a rad game, Chess 64.
Oh no.
Because it had the chess pieces all, like, fighting on the cover with, like, arms and weapons and shit, and I was like, this looks weird. Yeah, I was 13.
And it was just chess.
It's just chess. Yeah. And the only difference is when you make a move that takes a piece off the board, it plays just this terrible like animation of your piece killing the other piece as like a person.
Yeah.
And you had to wait for it to finish, even though like you might be running pawns over like other pawns for the first 20 rounds.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it sucked ass.
I bet you there's some chess grandmasters that were fucking losing it though on that game.
I mean, like, I can't imagine, you know, they play like speed chess with the timer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that those like cutscenes between must have taken like half the game,
right? Do you think any of them were using the game genie?
I do, yeah. They did all kings.
Yeah, all kings.
Checkmate immediately. Because you get one king, you get them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So, when do you think the Game Shark, Game Genie stuff kind of fizzled out? Because, like, I haven't seen that stuff in a long time, you know?
So, I had a Game Genie I used the Game Genie on Genesis, and I used the Game Shark on 64 to get to the fucking the island in GoldenEye. And stuff like that, but we didn't really use it much on the 64, even because Game Shark, if I remember correctly, the codes were much longer. It was just a huge hassle.
Yeah.
And games were much more complex, so they would just break in significant ways that Genesis games did not. And at that point, I just wasn't interested in like cheating to that degree, like Infinite Bullets and GoldenEye or whatever. Like, that just didn't interest me. We were playing multiplayer games a lot, and I wanted to play the game.
Right.
So I abandoned that concept pretty much wholesale at that point.
Yeah.
Though I know that things like the Action Replay existed on PlayStation 2 and was widely used.
Yeah, there are... I think the last thing I used a device like that was on a Nintendo DS, you know, and I think it was an Action Replay, and I used it for one of the Pokemon games. This was like years and years ago now, probably like 7 or 8 years ago. But it's interesting because, you know, like Game Shark and the Game Genie stuff started as, you know, quote unquote cheats, but they were just manipulating the code of the game, right? It was very different than like the Konami code, right? So you would, in a way, right? Because,
right. Well, okay. So like, Game Genie and Game Shark and all that stuff. You're right. Like, they were injecting code into the game effectively, or modifying existing code in ways that the game is not designed for. Whereas the Konami code is like a canonical cheat. Like, this is something that we've accounted for.
Right. It was put there by the developers purposefully to give the player a bonus. You know, it almost goes beyond a cheat. It's
it's an Easter egg.
It's an Easter egg, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's an Easter egg that rewards you.
Yeah, and then that has gone on, and cheats nowadays in games very rarely, like, I mean GTA is a good example of a game that you knew that would have a ton of cheats that were put there by the developers, and they were a set of controller movements, you know, YY, up, down, left, right, whatever, and you get infinite ammo, all guns. And they actually still exist in GTA 5. Mm-hmm. They have those there. But then obviously people take it to crazy other limits by modding the game. But that's a whole different thing. It's not really cheating.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, but that concept really, the concept of adding those cheats in, you know, not many games do that anymore.
So I think that the additional device used to modify the game, I think the popularity of that waned after the PlayStation 2, because consoles were going in an online-only direction, or at least an online-centric direction.
Right.
When using those devices became more complicated.
Right.
I'm not even sure that one exists for the Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3. I would guess that it does, but
I've never seen one for purchase.
Yeah,
I'm sure there is one.
Yeah, and I knew nobody who had one.
Right.
But cheats as like an Easter egg included by the developers in the game, those also kind of dropped off with the advent of like online centric games and consoles, and that's a weird like separate angle that I don't like personally. Mm-hmm. Do you have any experience with that?
Sort of. I mean, like, for me as a whole, there's been many instances playing certain games that I mean I do think that games now, obviously none of that stuff's there. I mean, Easter eggs in general, sorry, hold on, I'm having a fucking, my brain is like not working right now. Okay. All right, can we start that again?
So there's the fuck, I don't remember.
Yeah,
I don't remember what I said. Okay, so I know that there was an action replay on the PlayStation 2, but I never knew anybody who had one. I never used one personally. I know that I would assume that there's one for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, though I never saw one and I never knew anybody who had one again.
Right.
And I think that that's largely because those consoles were online centric, and modifying game code especially in order to cheat becomes a much more complicated subject when you're talking about things like achievements or playing against other players, anything that compares your skill against another person's skill, complicates the subject of cheating, or rather the subject of cheating complicates and in most cases muddies that experience.
Right. Well, GTA will turn, you'll get a message as soon as you enter one of the cheats that they programmed to be there. It'll turn off achievements. It'll not allow you to access online.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they have those in place. But there's been, like you said, there's been many games that maybe had previous versions where they had cheats available or had programmed Easter eggs or cheats or whatever, and they did away with them because they focused on online stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine that putting cheats into your game became too much of a fucking hassle for a lot of developers. Like, I don't know. I know that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm under the impression that games were required to have achievements included in them after a certain point.
You
have to meet 1,000 achievements if it's a full release, for example.
I mean, since the 360, games have to have 1,000, like full retail games have to have 1,000 gamer score.
Yeah. And, so,
oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. So if you put a cheat in there, I wonder if Microsoft has something to say about that. Like, well, you've minimized the experience of achieving something in this game, or I don't know. Do they care? Like, there must be something about that related to this subject, because there aren't any cheats anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I imagine that there was something there. I mean, if you look at some of the early Xbox 360 games, it's clear that a lot of developers just did not really give a shit about achievements, or really understood like what direction Microsoft was going, or what the overall industry was going for, you know, because now, you know, the PlayStation has trophies, which act as achievements, and Steam has games that come out with like hundreds of achievements for one game.
Metal Gear Solid 4, I think to this day, does not have trophies
on PlayStation.
on PlayStation 3.
Oh wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It may have had trophies injected into it,
mm-hmm.
like as recently as 2 years ago. But you know that game's quite old at this point, at least 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at some of the early Xbox 360 games, the games would have 10 achievements worth 100 gamer score each, and they were all super easy to get.
Right.
Whereas now, games come out, they have like 50 or so achievements. What have you. Usually it's around 50 per game, and they all are for doing all kinds of different stuff. And you know, I haven't cared about achievements in a long time. There was a little period of my life, maybe 3 or 4 years, where when I would play a new game, I would try to get as many achievements as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I have the anecdotal experience of feeling the same way about achievements. And I think a lot of people that I follow or know who also talk about achievements are also, you know, over them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I go and read like how people are reacting to some game trying to launch right now. For example, we were trying to play Sea of Thieves earlier, and I'm amazed to remember that ton of people who play video games are 16-year-old fucking assholes.
Yeah, dude.
Whose priorities are completely different from mine.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that people who like achievements are assholes, but you know, that's a different conversation. But dude, people have different priorities than we do, and I think a lot of people do care a lot about achievements still.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there are people that still focus on that, and that's fine. I mean, I think achievements are generally okay. But you know, if you're gonna release a game that has gonna have 50 achievements, you gotta remember also that you probably don't want to include cheats that are gonna unlock those easy.
Totally. So the first time that I saw that cheats were done, like that they don't exist anymore as like an existing Easter egg concept, or that you would no longer be rewarded with cheats upon completing some task or something, is when I was playing Skate, and I discovered that there was a DLC called Time is Money, which is a DLC pack. It's not even a pack, actually. It's just you pay, I think it was $10, and it would give you all of the skate decks and locations and clothes and stuff. Like, you earned it, but you bought it instead. And previously, like, you would be entering a code to unlock everything, but instead you're paying $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah, dude.
And then it happened again in Dead Rising 2 off the record, which was further down the line. But that one also just straight up sold you unlocks and like silly modes for money. And that's like the death knell of cheats. And it's just weird now that like one of the most online games around, GTA 5 is also one of the few games that has codes that you can enter with a controller.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot about Rockstar's roots too, you know, that and I'd be interested to know, because the game that I probably enjoyed the most entering cheats in besides GTA
mm-hmm.
was the Tony Hawk games.
Yeah,
and I think there were characters in there that you could only unlock by entering a cheat. Like,
I think you're right.
Like the Tony Hawk.
Police officer?
Yeah. There was a police officer character in the first game that you could unlock with a cheat that was like wearing like boxer briefs or something and carried donuts. Is silly. But then Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, you could play as Spider-Man. And he had his own like super gnarly like tricks. And I loved that.
Catch it with the web.
Yeah.
Pull it back.
Yeah. And, I, you know, in that game, they had, I mean, each level of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 had its own set of what were essentially like the objectives or achievements in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And because that there was no achievement locking or any mission locking or objective locking when you entered cheats, what I would do is I would, they had a code in that game which made your character float infinitely. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you could just float infinitely and just do tricks over and over and over again.
That's right.
get thousands and thousands of points, and you could just perfect every level that way. And I did that, and I was like totally okay with that. Like, I didn't feel like I was exploiting the game or taking the easy way out. I was having a blast.
That's what matters, man.
Yeah, it totally is. Having a good time.
One of my like more cherished cheat memories is GoldenEye. The rare model for cheats was you earned them by completing levels in certain times,
mm-hmm.
and then you would be granted DK mode or paintball mode or whatever.
Right.
And the task of completing those levels within those time frames was sometimes fucking like insane. Like,
yeah, dude. And that game is actually hard. People forget that GoldenEye
was 2.5 minutes. It's a hard game, dude. And all the tasks and like those are speed runs to complete some of those levels, man.
Yeah.
Like straight up. You have to hold the strafe and forward button at the same time to get max speed. You got to like not shoot anybody, just skip everyone.
Wall glitch.
Yeah. Wall glitch and shit. Hard shit. But like, yeah, finding those routes, getting those weird funny codes, and then mm-hmm. like just loading your multiplayer up with bullshit until the game freezes
was yes.
a blast. One of the like we turned on infinite ammo and then did remote mines and threw a stack of mines that was, it must have been like 50 or 100 mines deep across a hallway, and like the mines would stick like right on top of one another mm-hmm. to create like a long tower. And we all stood around it, and then one of us shot it, and as soon as the bullet hit the mine, the game just locked up instantly. It didn't even bother to try.
No FPS drop, just zero and death, shut off.
Good times.
Yeah. Did you have a website that you used for cheats?
Yeah, dude, it was also my first forum experience.
Uh-oh.
Which is a different subject. It was n64cc.com. It was run by one Bjorn. And you just enter your own, you just send him cheats.
Did he have to approve them?
I mean, he ran the website, yeah. And like, it was still like the early days of cheats. So like, there was just bullshit that didn't exist. Like, infamous, like, unlock Luigi and Mario 64 and shit like that.
Yeah. Unlock, I fell for unlock Goku and Squirtle in Super Smash Bros.
That's such a little kid ass fucking thing to fall for.
I was a child, man. And, you know, unlock Squirtle was like, go to this stage and with Fox, kick for 30 seconds straight. And don't get hit by the opponent or something.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's funny as hell.
People just fuck with people. Or maybe, absolutely. I don't know. Yeah.
No, they'd fuck with people. Like, I wrote a thing on the GTA 5 Chilead mystery, and I recounted the Luigi cheats. And the evidence for the Luigi cheats was just fucking a picture of Mario that somebody had used MS Paint to paint green. Like the jankiest fucking bullshit.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I found the original JPEGs that I believed when I was a child.
Really?
On this N64 archive website. Yeah. And because I have these distinct memories of Mario painted green,
mm-hmm.
like with a fuzzy paintbrush. And there they were, and they look like shit.
That's so funny.
What I was fucking thinking. It's all right. I've been there, man.
But so we've talked about the fun side and the good side and the side that no longer exists. But there is obviously a dark side, a bad side to cheating. And, you know, that exists today in a couple different forms. Mostly in PC gaming.
It's just horrible.
Yeah.
In PC gaming.
It has jumped to consoles. We've seen that in Call of Duty over the past. Well, really, since Call of Duty started getting popular with, what, Call of Duty 3 or 4, and then their Modern Warfare games,
mm-hmm.
With modding your online character in the Call of Duty games to prestige. You know, if you're familiar with Call of Duty, you'll know what that means.
I've heard some fucking wild stories of, like, how you can have your account modified so that when you shoot somebody else, that person prestiges.
So
like
that's...
they'll grant you like the cheat, and then you get banned. You know, like in GTA 5 when people would go on GTA Online early on with fucking like shitloads of money.
Oh, and
be
like
a million bucks.
Yeah.
And then you'd get banned for it.
Yeah.
And that still happens. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it exists still. I mean, I remember, you know, when I used to play, when I was super into like Call of Duty Black Ops, I played it all the time. I remember playing with a party full, you know, five other people, and we'd get into a lobby full of people who we knew were using mods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could just tell by the way that their username was, or their Xbox tag was, because one of the clear indications back in those days was that if they had like the button symbol, like a controller button symbol in their gamer tag, in Call of Duty, so like a actual
like an A button. Prompt,
yeah, like an A B, like a, what looked like the actual buttons on a controller, and they are the color, same colors as the buttons on the controller. Like that was a giveaway that they had modded their character, and
showing
you probably shouldn't play against them.
It's fucked up. Yeah. I used to play just a ton of Counter-Strike. That was my go-to game.
Do you think the VAC stuff came from Counter-Strike?
Okay, so like Steam itself exists as a platform initially to launch Half-Life 2 and its first major online game alongside Team Fortress Classic was Counter-Strike. And I actually I created my first Steam account on launch day to play Counter-Strike, because I played Counter-Strike 1.6 just exclusively. I would like ditch class to play Counter-Strike at my worst. I only did that a couple times. To be fair, I wasn't that bad. But yeah,
shout out to mom and dad who's listening.
Shout out to my teachers. Yeah, my Steam account is like account 4,000. For Counter-Strike.
Humble brag.
And OG baby. But fucking the cheats on Counter-Strike were gnarly, and you'd just know right off the bat that they had them. You'd see it in their kill-death ratio. And it drove me to play on dedicated servers run by specific clans, because the same people would go to them every time. So you knew the people, and there was like a kinship, and we would all look out for cheaters. And they would just get kicked right away because there was always a clan mod on to kick them.
Mm-hmm.
Playing on a public server was just
nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah, and so do you remember when the VAC? Because I like the VAC bans and the VAC. What does VAC stand for? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Valve anti-cheat, probably.
Valve anti-cheat. Yeah. Like, I remember when that dropped, and it was actually one of the rare times in my life when I was actually, like, playing a lot of Steam stuff and playing Team Fortress.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember seeing it, like, when it really first started happening, like, reading articles and reading stuff in forums about it. And VAC is, just run Steam now, right? I mean...
I'm pretty sure that VAC only applies when your game uses Steam's online... matchmaking, or okay. Not matchmaking, hosting, which is not many games use Steam
okay.
servers.
Oh, okay.
Dota 2 does, Counter-Strike does, Steam games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any others off the top of my head that do. Like okay. The way that you would launch a game to play multiplayer in Steam at launch was you would right-click on Steam and you would go to the server tab of the menu. I don't even know that it fucking exists anymore. And it would show you just all the active servers for Counter-Strike. And or you could filter by Team Fortress Classic
mm-hmm.
or Half-Life Deathmatch. But if you wanted to play like a game that wasn't running on the Source engine or a Half-Life engine, you would have to launch that multiplayer experience separately. And then they use something like Punk Buster or something like that.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
They might let you VAC ban. I don't even know how that would work. Because back is run. Yeah, I don't even know how that would work.
Mm-hmm.
You just get your fucking whole account blocked. That would suck.
Does PUBG run anything? Any anti-cheating stuff at this?
It does. Yeah, it's just not very good. In fact, it's awful.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not exceptionally good at PUBG, but apparently the higher you get, you're guaranteed to experience cheating. That you're going to have like several cheaters on the server at the same time.
Oh, really? So wait, do they put you in, is it tiered as in like the less well you do?
Yeah, so like Blizzard has the most transparent tiering of like, you know, bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And you like visibly move to the next tier based on your performance.
Right, yeah, yeah.
A lot of games have transparent tiering, and PUBG is one of them. Or not transparent, opaque, I guess, tiering.
Right, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure, you know, because I know that does exist. So that makes sense that PUBG has that.
Yeah, I've been hacked just once. I don't want to call it I've been hacked, but I've been killed by a hacker once. I was in a field, and I saw a dude, and he just started fucking running at me, and I ran into a city. And I went into a building and I hid in the corner of this bathroom, and he ran directly to the external wall of the room that I was in and jumped into the window and shot me immediately. He didn't spend any time looking for me.
Oh, okay. So he knew exactly like where you were. He had like,
yeah, just like a beeline for the building I was in.
Right.
In the city of the buildings that I was in.
Right.
And not even to the building, but to the external wall of the room that I was in.
So he has that's a very common hack or cheat exploit that I've seen, is especially I've seen it in Counter-Strike used, where you see your opponents or enemies through walls, right?
It's like, yeah, it's super a wall common. Hack.
Wall hack, the infamous wall hack.
Do you think anyone's going to bring cheats back to the single player experience?
Maybe.
Do you think there will be a single player experience in 3 years?
It'll be online all the time.
I don't want that. Jack me out. Jack me.
Oh, shit.
Later, dude. Later, dude. Later, dude. Later, dude. Later, dude.